against greed, about that insatiable feeling of never having enough. And the parable he tells illustrates this. The farmer's problem isn't that he has a great harvest, or that he's rich, or even that he wants to plan for the future. The farmer's problem is that his good fortune has curved his vision so that everything he sees starts and ends with himself. Greed isn't just about money or a certain amount of it. We can't say that a person whose income is higher than a certain number is greedy, while those who make less are not. Rather, greed is about the position from which we live. It is about relationship. One needs not have so much that they need to build a bigger barn in order to be greedy. While we can certainly see through some modern things like gated communities and security systems and multiple door locks that having more stuff in our culture often inclines us toward a position of greater protectiveness and greater suspicion of the stranger or the other, but it doesn't mean that those with less don't also struggle with these temptations. And it doesn't mean that those with more can't be in right relationship with God and neighbors. Because it is relationship that's at the foundation of this parable. This is about being in deep enough relationship with God that we are changed by that relationship. It is about valuing people more than things. It is about understanding that our first loyalty, our first allegiance, our first commitment is to God and neighbor, and then about living in such ways that the wealth we have and the relationships we build reflect those values rather than teaching something very different. See, the rich man in this parable, he's not a fool because he's rich. Rather, it is the fact that he lives as if he is an island. That is what makes him foolish. Did you notice? Did you notice in the parable that he didn't call on God or other humans in any of his decision making? His conversations were simply with himself. He didn't even appear to think of God or humans as he considered his abundance. His conclusions are simply inward facing. And the difficult reality is that greed and accumulation aren't just things that show up in biblical parables. But they are such a part of our culture that we often don't see when they turn us inward. We often don't see them as temptations or connect them with sin. And yet Jesus warns us against them. He warns us against them because they get in the way of our relationships, of our joy, of our right priorities. Our love of stuff, our greed isolates us from God and from neighbor, and certainly isolates us from being motivated by our love of God and neighbor. In fact, not only do we lose that motivation, but when we give in to the temptation of greed, we experience increased fear and anxiety and decreased security. And friends, we cannot afford this. In a world where people at festivals, doing their weekly shopping, or out for an evening with friends are not safe from gunfire. In a world where the darker the pigment in your skin is, the less safe you are. In a world where racist rants are common and our differences are used to divide us, we cannot risk choosing stuff over people. We cannot risk thinking only of ourselves. The man in the parable turned so far in on himself that he had only himself. May we be willing to be honest enough about our temptations, about our struggles, about the ways that our greed of stuff and money and power interfere with our relationships with God and others. May we be honest enough about all of this that we can keep our eyes and our hearts open to God and to our neighbors. Again today, I invite us to pray a prayer of confession. So I invite you, when you hear me pray, too often we give in to greed, to respond saying, "Forgive us, O God." Let us pray together. God, you are so generous with us. You give us love in abundance, neighbors with whom to share the journey, a world filled with beauty and hope. And yet too often we use people and things for our own selfish desires. Too often we give in to greed. Forgive us, O God. God, it is difficult to confess, but we acknowledge that when you call us to look outward, we too often turn inward, setting aside the needs of our neighbors in favor of our own desires. We acknowledge that when you call us to reach out to you, too often we instead look for our security in ownership and accumulation. Too often we give in to greed. Forgive us, O God. And so today, as we confess, we ask that you help us to lift our eyes toward you, to open our hearts toward humanity and this world, that we might let go of all that gets in the way of deeper relationships, and that we might instead choose love. Amen. It is our practice to extend an invitation to anyone wishing to place their membership in First Christian Church, wanting to indicate a desire to be baptized, or to renew their commitment to living a life of faith, is invited to come forward as we sing together hymn number 381 in the red hymnal, "Take My Gifts." I invite us to rise in body or spirit.
Because your love has touched me, I have seated. What are you willing to let go of in order to make room for God in your life? What are you willing to let go of in order to build relationships with neighbor and stranger? Let us share generously today and every day.